I sat on the small love seat in the motel room, the guitar in my lap. I had put off the restringing long enough. I unwound the low E string from its paper packaging and stretched it along the fretboard, tugging the string's hard metal end into the bridge and pushing it into the pin. The tuner drew the string taut. I skipped the A string, then I knew it would be a lot of trouble. The D, G, B, and high E went on perfectly, but as I pulled the A string across the body and slid it through the tuning peg hole, the entire tuner mechanism on the back of the guitar's head fell into my lap. All of it. Every piece. The A tuner had been stripped years ago, but I'd figured a way around it. For decades, I used the lever on my metal capo like a screwdriver, placing it in the groove of the A peg, rotating it past the flaw. But now, well, the tuner itself, the metal casing and the tiny screws that held it together, had collapsed. Really? This happens right now? I had the other guitar, yes, but the Yamaha was my baby. It was a guitar in which I practiced, and it sounded better than the Ovation. Cleaner, crisper. If we start at King Family and then move south to Pollock, we'd be making our way to the direction of Rapunzel's, Leslie said, studying the notes she had taken. I sat silently with parts of my guitar in the palm of my hand. That seems like a good plan, doesn't it? We could get lunch before we go, Leslie added, continuing to work through the list of wineries, checking them off with a pen. I pulled a deep breath and stared at the pieces of my broken tuner. For the first time, I was nervous. All this way with one stupid song for one stupid show in a stupid backwoods venue, and now I was faced with a disintegrating guitar. I started to sweat. Babe, Leslie asked, turning toward me from the small desk, expecting confirmation on the plan. Yeah, sounds good, I said. Oh, no, she said, noticing the pieces in my hand.
And so we have a little drama ahead of your performance. I don't want to give too much away, but I would love for you to share your impressions of Rapunzel's when you arrived at the club.
Oh, it's a great place. It was gritty and, hardwood floors and a little bit of smell of beer and coffee and books on the wall and pictures of performers who had been there before. And I fell in love with it. It was wonderful.
Well, tell us about the song that was selected that you got to perform, To a Better Day.
I had actually submitted two songs. One I had written for Leslie, and, I felt pretty close to that one. The other one, To a Better Day, had been written several years prior to that, about my two sons who were in high school at the time, and we're both going through the growing pains of that time. You know what it's like in high school. It's an awful place for a lot of people. And I wrote this song because I felt kind of bad. I was 1,500 miles away from them, and they were, going through these troubles. So I wrote this song that was called To a Better Day, meaning basically things are going to get better. You may not feel that now, but they are. So that was the song. And, I didn't think anything of it. I don't think my sons had ever even heard it before. But I kind of liked it, and I kept it, and I kept a little MP3 file of it. I just recorded it kind of crudely. And that ended up being the song that they chose. And I hadn't played it in a long time. So thus you heard what I had just read, that I had to keep practicing that song because it had been a while, and I wasn't really sure of whether I could pull it off. So that was it.
Well, tell us about your competition. Who were the performers at Rapunzel's who impressed you most?
Wow. There were 30 finalists, and 29 of them actually showed up. And they were of all types. I mean, they were every imaginable, tatted up girls, old guys, young guys, guys that looked like they wanted to be Neil Young, just every facet you could think of. So it was kind of fun to be there and experience that. But it was slightly intimidating. I have to admit that.
I'll let the reader discover what happens at the concert and who wins. But I want to talk about your writing now. You are a radio reporter for CBS Chicago, longtime reporter.
Yeah.
You also produce documentaries for public radio.
I have.
You are a professor at Columbia College, where you teach radio writing and radio production.
Mm-hmm.
So much of your writing is designed for the ear. As a musician, you're also writing stories designed to be listened to.
Yeah.
So how does your radio and music background influence your storytelling in a book?
I want to hear my words. I'll write a passage, and then I read it out loud. And I read it out loud for two reasons. One, because you can find the mistakes in the grammar real quickly if you're reading out loud. And secondly, hearing it out loud, there's a musicality to writing. There's a certain flow and pace that you don't capture unless you read it out loud. And I tell my students, even when I do workshops that have nothing to do with radio writing or audio, I tell them to read their work out loud, because I really do believe that it gives you a sense of all that pace and the flow of the words. So I think that that connection between the audio and the other work that I do melts into my writing, because I'm always looking for that pace and that musicality in the writing. And if I catch something that feels clunky when I read it, I change it.
David, I can't let you go without asking you about your time in Charlottesville. In recent months, our audience heard about a violent death of a person protesting a neo-Nazi rally. I'm sure some of our listeners have been to Charlottesville and know that city is more than that one incident. Yeah. But for those of us who have never been to Charlottesville, I would like you to tell us something we do not know about that city.
It's a southern city, but don't stereotype it. People do it. They think of all those dumb hicks down there who don't know any better. It's just not true. Charlottesville is a gorgeous part of the country and a lot more sophisticated and aware than anybody would ever stereotype a southern city to be. It was a horrific thing that happened there. I don't claim to know Charlottesville backwards and forwards, but my short time there, I would go back in a moment and I would embrace it. A lot of very good people. And that's true of a lot of places in our country, really. You know, ignorance is what breeds the prejudice. And the more you get to know people and get to know an area, all of that falls away. So I urge you to get to know Charlottesville.
David W. Berner is a musician, journalist, and the author of several books, most recently October Song. At WNIJ.org, you can see a video of him reading another excerpt from this book. David Berner, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Dan.